In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we all know more or less the story of Fatima, probably the most important of Our Lady's apparitions, especially for our times. So to start off, we can review a little history of the apparitions and then delve into the message and what it means for us today. There were, as we know, three Portuguese shepherd children named Lucia, age 9, Francesco, age 8, and Jacinta, age 6, who received three apparitions from the guardian angel of Portugal in 1916, six apparitions from Our Lady of the Rosary in 1917. Lucia later became a religious sister and received several more apparitions from Our Lady and Jesus himself. During the apparitions of the guardian angel of Portugal in 1916, the angel asked the children to pray with him. He encouraged them to make everything they could a sacrifice and to offer it to God as a reparation for sin and as a prayer for the conversion of sinners. And finally, the angel prayed before the Blessed Sacrament and then gave the three children Holy Communion. From May through October 1917, the children had visions of the Blessed Virgin on the 13th day of each month. They promised to offer themselves to God to bear all sufferings He wanted to send them. They heard the ladies promise to take Jacinta and Francesco to heaven soon, while Lucia would remain on earth sometime longer. The lady told them that Jesus wanted to establish a devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. She also wanted the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. She also wanted the children to see a horrifying vision of hell. They heard the lady say and warn of a worse war to come if prayers and sacrifices were not made to end World War I, and receive the prayer to end each decade of the Rosary. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls, especially to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy, what we know as the Fatima prayer. Now in September of that year, the lady promised the children that World War I would end if they continued to pray the Rosary. In October of that same year, the lady identified herself as the Lady of the Rosary and asked for a church to be built on that spot. When she left the children, everyone in the crowd on that day saw the miracle of the sun, the miracle that Our Lady had promised the previous month. The sky opened, and those gathered there were able to look directly at the sun as it glowed and danced. Then the sun plummeted to the earth, causing panic, but returned to its place in the sky. Suddenly everything, including the ground and everyone's clothing, was completely dry, as it had been raining all day. Now, within a few years of this, Francesco and Jacinta died and went to heaven, as Our Lady promised. Lucia into religious life and received an apparition in 1925, during which Our Lady fulfilled that promise that she would return to ask for the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. In 1929, Our Lady appeared to Lucia again, stating, "The moment has come in which God asks the Holy Father to make, in union with all the bishops of the world, the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart." You know, Bishop Sheen once said concerning the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima, the revelation of Fatima is a reminder that we live in a moral universe, that evil itself is self-defeating, and that good is self-preserving, that the troubles of the world are not in politics or economics, but in our hearts and our souls, and that spiritual regeneration is the condition for social amelioration. So in the sermon for this last day of the novena, we can ask ourselves the question, what does this apparition, which happened over 100 years ago, have to do with me? Why should it be important in our times? And how can this spiritual regeneration of which Bishop Sheen spoke lead to social amelioration? To grasp the answer, all we have to do is look around us, to society, present-day society, the church, and then we can see. But we have to have eyes to see. In that very important apparition on July 13th, Our Lady warned the children about the evils of communism, which would begin in Russia and spread its errors throughout the world. She also said that communism would cause wars and persecutions of the church, in which the good would be martyred, the Holy Father would have much to suffer, and various nations would be annihilated. And tragically, all these things came true. And for this reason, Pope John Paul II fittingly said at Fatima, Our Lady foretold the main events of the 20th century, a century characterized by extreme violence and the greatest destruction of human life that the world has ever seen. The threat of communism and its many offspring remains to this day. Though the Soviet Union has collapsed, communist regimes elsewhere in the world, particularly in China, still oppress the church and still spread error, while other forms of materialism oppose her in many countries that were once Christian. Even here in our own United States, there are communists and social Marxists who push the communist agenda through certain political parties and institutions, namely universities. How can we and the church do battle against the foes lined up against her and against Christian civilization? If sin is the cause of war and persecution, then the first thing we need to do is turn away from sin. Turn away from our own personal sin and live lives of Christian virtue. God made us, as we know, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him in this life in order to be happy with Him in the next. Holiness is God's will for us. God wills our salvation. Remember what Our Lady told the children at the end of the October 13th miracle of the sun. Do not offend the Lord our God anymore, because He is already so much offended. Now, what are these sins we have to turn away from? First, the sins of blasphemy, which are directed against God, against Our Lady, against the angels and saints, against those things that are sacred because they're associated with the honor and worship of God. Such offenses express an actual, even if indirect, hatred of God. These sins must be overcome by a lively faith, along with an authentic love of God and neighbor. Remember, we should always have to increase in our love of God, grow in our love of God. St. Paul's words to the Romans, he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember, God's love is stronger than the world's hatred. Our Lady's message at Fatima will bolster our faith, invigorate our faith and love if we open ourselves to it and open ourselves to God's grace. Then there are sins against life. Abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, assisted suicide, and the whole culture of death. Add to that list murder, physical abuse, gang wars, ethnic and racial cleansing, and all the other violent crimes that come from hatred in our hearts. In the book of Genesis, we read the story of the first murder. Cain became jealous when his brother Abel's sacrifice was more pleasing to God than his own. When they were walking out in the fields together, Cain killed his brother and buried his body in the ground. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Cain answered, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord then said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the earth." Abel's innocent blood was crying out to God for justice. What about the innocent blood of many thousands of unborn children who are murdered each day worldwide? What about the approximately 50 million innocent unborn children who have been aborted in the United States since 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court made abortion a constitutional right? Fortunately, Roe versus Wade was recently overturned. But the abomination of abortion still exists and is lawful in many states, here in the United States and many countries in the world. Isn't there blood crying out to God for vengeance? Archbishop Sheen also said that unless we reverse the destruction of innocent life by abortion, we will come to midnight on the clock of death, which he said will be a nuclear war. So it's important to recognize the connection between communism and the culture of death. Under atheistic communism, Russia didn't recognize any God-given dignity to human life. A person was important only to the degree that he was useful to the state. Therefore, Russia became the first Christian nation in the world to permit abortion. It became so commonplace that there are or were women in Russia who have had as many as 35 or 40 abortions. Because the population of Russia has dropped drastically, as it has in many other European nations, the Russian government is now paying couples to have children. How did the communism that first planted itself in the Soviet Union spread abortion to Western Europe and to the United States? Well, we have to understand that communism teaches the radical equality of the sexes. Women in Russia and later in communist China were required to enter the workforce in service of the state. What was forced upon the peoples taken over by communism was willingly adopted in Western Europe and in the United States in the name of equality. The movement for so-called women's liberation, the feminist movement in these countries, insisted that women could not take their rightful and equal place among men in the workforce unless they had complete control over the ability to reproduce. And that control included the power to kill their unborn children. As abortion has lessened the dignity of life, euthanasia to eliminate the terminally ill, the handicapped, and the elderly has gained acceptance. There was a recent ruling last week in England about this, about assisted suicide. In an atheistic society. These people's lives are seen to have no value, but constitute only a drain on the state's resources. Now, even in formerly Christian societies, for many, it seems too much of a bother to care for those in great need. While at the same time, the Christian meaning of suffering has been lost. We need Our Lady's help to reverse all of this. And then there's the attack on the family, the traditional family, another cause of the culture of death, which was fostered by communism. The family is the only place where the weak, whether they be very young, very sick, or very old, are cared for by those who are bound to them through love and family. The family, as we know, is the building block of society. If families are strong, the society is going to be strong. If families are weak, the society will be weak. Karl Marx, one of the founders of communism, saw the traditional family as an enemy of freedom and equality. The authority of husbands over their wives and that of fathers and mothers over their children create inequalities and are rivals to the absolute power of the state over each individual. This notion that the traditional family was the enemy of equality spread to Europe and eventually to the United States, where war was declared on those laws that supported traditional marriage. Little by little, the legal support beneath marriage has been stripped away. First, divorce was legalized. Next, cohabitating couples were given legal benefits that once were granted only to married couples. Now we see laws in place to give unnatural same-sex unions the same legal status as matrimony. Of course, when marriage is no longer honored and no longer understood as the only proper place for marital relations, then sexual immorality runs rampant and weakens the family life even more. Here we have to recall Our Lady's words to little Jacinta. The more souls are lost by sins of impurity than any other. So if we are to build a culture of love and life, then we have to put into practice the essential message of Fatima. We have to pray, we have to make reparation for our sins and the sins of others, and strive to grow in Christian virtue. Humanity no longer lives turned toward its creator, but towards itself. It's forgotten that its sin on this earth is to love God and to attain the salvation of souls. In the face of such a dramatic scenario, how can we not expect that a regenerating intervention will befall the world? How could God ignore this terrible crisis in which the world is immersed due to humanity's wickedness? A societal change in the direction of true conversion seems to be becoming more improbable. And to the degree that we march toward the climax of moral degradation, the realization of the punishments prophesied by Our Lady become more likely. This being the case, we can only turn our gaze toward a light that shines on the horizon of current events and which invites us to confide in the promise she made over 100 years ago. In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. So my friends, let us all strive each day. Let us all strive each day. Through our prayers, through our sacrifices, through our penance, to hasten that very triumph. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.